And welcome everyone to my show, The John Kirkland Show. It's a wonderful day here in the Bay Area, and it's a lot to talk about, a lot that I'm going to get into. But first thing I want to say is I hope everyone is able to dodge this coronavirus, stay healthy, stay indoors. If you can avoid anybody coughing, sneezing, or whatever it is, please do that, because it's no joke. It's taking over everything. This is just a ridiculous time for America right now. All right, here we go. Now, the NFL is going crazy right now with the cuts, the trades, the signings, all kinds of things. And for the next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to go into all of that and let you know what I think as far as these signings. Now, number one, obviously, you know, the Buccaneers signed Tom Brady, $50 million. That's 25 a season for 2 years. I do believe that he made the right choice. They got Godwin, and then they also have their other big-time receiver over there. It's interesting how you leave from the AFC and then you go to the NFC. And I think right now there's a plan in place. First of all, there's a good coach over there. I think Bruce Arians over there, if I'm not mistaken, in Tampa Bay. Again, they have Tom Brady. They got Ronald Jones at running back. They got Mike Evans, and then they got Godwin also. So you got the two wide receivers plus Cameron Brate, the tight end. He restructured his contract, so they got a little bit more flexibility. And then they got the draft coming up. So the NFL draft is also going to be just as important as the offseason for them, because they'll be able to plug in some of the holes that they still may have to fill, but they're doing it, you know, at a younger, with a younger option, with a younger rate. Being able to maybe plug in that younger corner that they didn't have to spend a lot of money on. There's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do once they get the cap flexibility. And it's still, and I believe that they're still making cuts. They're still, you know, rebuilding their roster. There's still a lot of things that they're doing. But when you talk about the NFL draft, you got to kind of go down the line and kind of look and see, where is Tampa Bay picking? Right now, they have a top 14 pick in the draft. So with the direction that they're going in as a football team, they can either trade up or trade down. If you can get into the top 14, top 13, you're in great shape. And you have a trading piece. You have a trading commodity now, because a lot of people don't get there. They don't get to be able to be in the top 14. But now, for example, if you're like at 20, 21, 23, you're going to have to add a third round pick to that. You're going to have to add a fourth round pick to that to be able to move up. And that's if you're lucky to get into the top 14, if it's a trading piece or if somebody wants to trade down. So meaning, if they want to trade down, that means that there's a player that they like, and you might have to add a future pick to that along with a third round pick or a fourth round pick to that. So they may end up with three picks for the price of one, being able to trade down. So right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in great, great, great shape. They got the number 14 pick right now. And a lot of people have them projected to select Derrick Brown, defensive lineman from Auburn. I like that pick. You can't go wrong with defense. They get a younger D lineman. Is he going to go there? He's right now, he's rated in top 14. He could fall, or he could be off the board before the Tampa Bay is able to pick. But there's a lot of good players, I think, in this draft. Even quarterbacks, I think there's some under the radar quarterbacks. There's some steals there, which it always is in the draft. But more so with Tampa Bay, I think they're in a great situation. And they're building, and they're doing it the right way. They got a lot of good guys out there right now, and I think it's only going to get better, and they're going to keep adding to it. Also, I want to say congratulations to Dallas Cowboys, because they have probably right now, to me, besides maybe Tampa Bay, They had one of the most incredible off seasons I've seen them have in many years. And by the way, I am a Cowboys fan. However, I like their signings. I like their signings. What I didn't understand was the Dak Prescott situation, where Dak Prescott decided that he didn't want any of the Cowboy offers. The Cowboys offered him two different offers, and he didn't take any of them. However, what made no sense to me at all was the fact that how do you decide to not take the contract, but you're getting it on a franchise tag? So you're still getting the same amount of money on a franchise tag, but you didn't want it. You didn't want it. You didn't want it at all. Now, I believe Dak threw for over 5,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken, this year. Not bad. Not bad at all. What I would like to see Dallas do is improve on defense. Dallas has to get better on defense. They signed Clinton Dix, which I really liked, to help us out as far as the safety position. I like that. That was a good signing. Hopefully we get a corner in the first round. That's what I'm hoping for. We need a corner really bad. I know we signed Anthony Brown, one of our other top corners last year we had. We got rid of Byron Jones. He signed a huge, massive contract with the Miami Dolphins for $82 million. I didn't understand that. He's not worth $80 million. He wasn't worth that with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't see why he's even worth that with the Miami Dolphins. Maybe they know something I don't know. But overall, that we were able to get Amari Cooper back on a friendly contract, 5 years, $100 million. I like that. Dallas was able to kind of secure some of the key pieces for our team. And right now on paper, we look like a Super Bowl contender. But that's the thing. We always look like a Super Bowl contender. Every single year, when you look at us on paper, every single year, we look like a Super Bowl contender. And what do? We go 8-8. What do? We get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. What do? We get to the wild card, we lose. What do? We lose to the Eagles against their third string team, which makes no sense. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. It just blows my mind. So hopefully, I think this year, I think we've made some changes. It's a matter of us staying healthy. And I think that's kind of like the difference between playing in a dome and then playing on outside on grass. I believe that in a dome, you have a lot more injuries. You're more injury prone than you are out there on grass, just my opinion. But nevertheless, I really hope Dallas can get it together. They made some great strides, and the season's looking bright for them, and it's looking interesting. Now, I saw a couple of signings that were interesting. Cowboys also got Gerald McCoy on a 3-year deal. He's a defensive tackle. He's going to be on our D-line, which I like the signing. I really do. I like the signing. I think that was important for us. So I think Dallas is addressing some of the defensive issues that they know we need to address. And I think they're taking the right step in the right direction going forward. Now, moving on. The Oakland Raiders signed Nelson Aguilar. And I texted my buddy a couple days ago, and then I texted him this morning. I didn't realize that Nelson Aguilar guaranteed money was $885,000 guaranteed. I thought he was worth more than that. But what I was explaining to him was that he felt Nelson Aguilar was trash. I don't think Nelson Aguilar is trash. I think that in Philadelphia, he wasn't used the way he should have been used that would make him an elite receiver. You can't be trash playing in the NFL. You can't be. You can't be trash. He's a Super Bowl champion. If you look at where he is amongst a lot of receivers that are top elite receivers, they don't even have a Super Bowl ring. So you got to look at it like that, because he's done something right. And when he got drafted by the Eagles, he didn't know he was going to go there. He didn't know that team was on pace to win a championship. He didn't know that. He just got drafted there and did his thing. What does he bring to the Oakland Raiders? I mean, I'm sorry, not Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, rather. What does he bring? What does he bring to the Raiders? I think what he brings is he's another weapon. I believe that he can stretch the field. I believe that they can use him on special teams. I believe that they can use him in certain offensive packages, and I think that he's going to help Derek Carr. I think he's going to be more of a help than what help Raiders had before. And the Raiders got a really good tight end in Waller. I like Waller. That dude is phenomenal. I like him. I like him a lot. He's a really good tight end. Not sure what the Raiders are trying to do in Las Vegas. Not sure what they're trying to do. I know that they got some pieces. And I think with the Raiders and what they're trying to do, first of all, I feel like they got to establish a quarterback. If Derek Carr is going to be their QB, then you sign Mariota. So then the conversation of drafting a quarterback shouldn't even be a topic of conversation because you've already made your choice going into Vegas. So now when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, we got Nelson Aguilar for nothing. Now what's the next step? What do you need? How good was your defense last year? And so I think when you break down your roster, I think the key thing for NFL teams to realize is that look at your numbers. If you were 29th on defense, that means you need to get you some defensive players in the draft. My whole thing is if you're not a top 10 offensive team, defensive team, you need to start looking. You need to start looking. Even special teams, you need to start looking. I think whatever the Raiders' plan is, it has to be better than what they had last year. And they had some injuries. But I think a lot of people always tell me, they say, man, we need to get rid of Carr. I saw that on my social media all last year. We need to get rid of Carr. Carr's trash. Get rid of Carr. Get rid of John Gruden. Get rid of Carr. I'm just going to say this, and I think this makes sense, and it's the most intelligent thing you can say. Before you call Derek Carr trash, what weapons have the Raiders given him to be able to compete at a high level where you could say he's still an elite quarterback, but he's a Jameis Winston who threw 30 interceptions and cost us a lot of the wins, cost us a lot of the losses that we had last year? I don't think that's fair. I don't believe if you don't put no pass protection in front of me that gives me the mobility or the opportunity to be able to get the ball out to Waller, get the ball out to some of my receivers that I need to, or even the running game for that matter. So I disagree with people saying that, you know, Derek Carr is trash. I think that if Derek Carr was to play for any other team with a great offensive line, we would be talking about how great. He's a top 10 quarterback for sure. He's a top 10 quarterback. But because he's on the Raiders don't have an elite offensive line, now we're saying he's trash. Same thing what they said about Cam Newton. Oh, he's trash. He's not worth anything. Cam Newton is worth a lot with a great offensive line. You put Cam Newton, I think Cam Newton is worth every penny if you have a great offensive line. You know why? Because what happens is he gives you two things that a lot of quarterbacks in this league very seldom give you. He can run the ball. He's a short yardage quarterback. And he has an arm. He can throw that rock. So I think when you look at it from those three elements, compare him to a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of quarterbacks either have one or the other or none at all. A lot of quarterbacks have weapons where they can throw the short game, which makes their passing completion percentage higher because they're throwing short yardage passes. They're not throwing bombs. They're not throwing, you know, long passes downfield, 65 yards, 40 yards. They're not doing that. So I think going forward, whoever signs Cam Newton, they're getting a very special player. I understand that he's injury prone, but I think whoever signs him, maybe on a one-year deal, I think it's worth it just to see what's there. I would sign him a one-year deal with an option. Give the franchise an opportunity to pick up that option. And I think it works on both sides. That's just me. In reference to, and I'm just talking about quarterbacks that a lot of people feel that are trash, in my personal opinion. I mean, look at Ryan Tannehill. You're telling me he's better than Cam Newton? Absolutely not. You're telling me Ryan Tannehill is better than Derek Carr? Absolutely not. But Tannehill had one great year, and got $118 million from the Titans. That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not discrediting his awesome season because he had a hell of a year last year, and that's for sure. Well, I'm not discrediting that. And plus, nobody saw the Titans going to the AFC Championship game for sure. But what my point is that I'm talking about in comparison when people talk about, you know, quarterbacks being trash. You know, I understand at one particular time, people said the same thing about Tannehill when he was in Miami. Oh, man, Tannehill's trash. You know, what is real trash? What is trash? Seriously, what is a trash quarterback? And let me ask you this. If you're a trash quarterback, you have no business starting in the National Football League. Matter of fact, you have no business even being on an NFL roster if you're trash. That's just my opinion. If you're trash, that's all I'm saying. Now, a couple interesting things. I saw Emmanuel Sanders. He signed with the New Orleans Saints. What do I think about that? I got a good buddy of mine. He's a Saints fan. That's all he talked about. What do I think about that? I think it's good. I think it gives the Saints another option besides Michael Thomas, because I've seen Michael Thomas where he was double teamed a lot last year. And it was kind of hard to get the ball to Mike Thomas. I mean, that's a bad receiver. So, you know, a lot of people were double teaming. I mean, it was just difficult to get open. But I think with Emmanuel Sanders and what he brings to that receiving core, oh man, you know, that's a scary team over there in New Orleans also. And not to put Tampa Bay over them, but to say that Tampa Bay's knocking on that door. They're knocking on that door. If they add the right pieces, they're knocking on that door for sure. But right now, I would have to say the best team right now in just in that division is absolutely the Saints for sure. And I think when you look at it, it bothered me last year because I thought they could beat the Vikings last year. And they just got rolled on last year. I mean, they didn't even show up. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what game I was even watching. I couldn't believe it. Now, moving on to the Vikings. Now, the Vikings, I believe, did a good job to an extent because they got value for Stephon Diggs. I thought the Bills, because he was just traded to the Bills, I thought the Bills gave up a lot for Stephon Diggs. Because when you talk about giving up a bunch of – when you give up third rounds, second rounds, you give up a first round, I think when you give up the house for just one guy, I think that's a lot. The Vikings ended up with the number 22nd pick in the draft. They ended up with the 22nd pick in the draft, and then they got the 25th pick in the draft again. So what they ended up doing was they got two first round picks this year, not from Buffalo. They got their original first round pick, and then they got Buffalo's first round pick. So they get two picks in the first round. How much of compensation is that for a Stephon Diggs? And I think I would say it's equal value because you're never going to get equal value for what Stephon Diggs brought to Minnesota per se. But I think if I'm Minnesota, I want to shop the 25th pick. No, yeah, the 25th pick. I want to shop it because they're projected to get Justin Jefferson from LSU, which he was a great receiver for LSU last year. I don't think he's going to be there at 25. And if that's going to be the pick that you want, I don't see Justin Jefferson being there at 25. I say let's move up. Let's move up and get Justin. Because, again, you're going to need a wide receiver to replace that. Yes, you got Adam Thielen, but you need help. Also, you need another guy over there that can also help Adam Thielen out, you know, to catch the rock. Because you had Diggs and Thielen. Now you got to get someone else to fill that role. And to fill Diggs' role, that's going to be some hard shoes to fill if you're a youngster. Now, looking at Green Bay, I kind of want to touch on Green Bay a little bit. There's a couple of teams I'm gonna touch on here, but I more so want to touch on Green Bay. Now, Green Bay has according to what I have, Green Bay has the 30th pick overall right now. As of right now, they have the 30th pick. Now, to me, if I'm Green Bay, nobody wants the 30th pick. Nobody's going to want that. So if I'm Green Bay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shop it. and see if I can get 2 second round picks, because you're at the bottom half. You're at the bottom of the first round. So if you think about it, that somebody's going to want to trade. I'm going to tell you this right now. Mark my words. Green Bay is not going to select anybody at number 30. They're going to allow somebody to trade into that spot for a player that they like, and they're going to get extra picks later on. They're not going to pick in that first round. It's not worth it. It's not worth it unless there's a player they particularly like that's there. Other than that, somebody is going to jump into number 30. Somebody. They're going to make a trade with somebody. Now, the 49ers. Let me get to them. First of all, congratulations to them. They had an excellent season. I think they exceeded everyone's expectations. I didn't see it coming, but they did their thing. They had one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in the league last year. And, I mean, they destroyed a lot of people. I still don't think Jimmy G is an elite quarterback, and we're going to get to that in a second. But I think 49ers showed a lot of promise there. They showed a lot of promise last year. And it goes to show you that what a young defense can do. It's scary. It's scary. So I will do this. I will say this because I've been very critical of this guy. It's John Lynch. I will give him some credit for what he's done last year, putting that team together. I give him that. Do I think that he's a good GM? I don't think so. I don't think a TV analyst makes great GMs. I don't think so. But that's just my opinion. But I will give him credit for last year. Impressive year last year. And I've seen some of the moves that they're making. They're building for the future. And would I be surprised if they're in the NFC Championship game next year? No, I would not. I would not. Do I think the NFC is going to be a lot tougher than it was last year? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to be dominating teams next year? I don't think so. But I do think they're going to be competitive, and they're going to beat some good teams next year, for sure. For sure. Now, Jimmy G. Jimmy G is not an elite quarterback, okay? He's not. This is what people tell me. This is the argument that people tell me, okay? This is what they say to me. Well, Jimmy G went his quarterback record, his wins versus losses. I don't care about that. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is if I give a quarterback $150 million, I need to know that he's my leader. He's my quarterback. He's going to get me to the Super Bowl. He's going to make the right passes. He's not going to throw in double coverage. He's going to be able to maximize his running ability versus the pass rush. He's going to be able to see it and call audible. He's going to be able to do so many different things. I think it was a learning curve for Jimmy G. Do I think Jimmy G is going to be better next year? Maybe. But I always told my friends, I said, look, Jimmy G's winning right now. Can Jimmy G, how will he play? What is his decision making when that pass rush is coming? What can he do? What can he do against the pass rush? That's what I'm looking at. What can he do? And as you guys could see, if you go back to the Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl, with 7 minutes to go and the 49ers were winning, again, the blame has to go on the quarterback. You are the leader of this team, and guess what? You failed, just like I knew Jimmy G would. And the surprising part is this. You've been behind Tom Brady. You've been to a couple of Super Bowls. You've seen this time and time again. This is not nothing new. This is nothing new. Patrick Mahomes never been to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes didn't have nobody he could learn from. But guess what? He went out there. He played his game. Now, the first half, I will say I was very critical of him. I was very critical of Patrick Mahomes just because he made two interceptions, critical interceptions that I thought cost them the game. But nevertheless, congratulations to 49ers. They did a hell of a job. They exceeded my expectations because I didn't even have them winning 13 games. So they did a great, great job. Great job, and that's an excellent franchise over there. Am I a 49ers fan? Absolutely not. But going forward, congratulations. Anyway, the Detroit Lions. I kind of want to speak on them just because I'm at a point where you got the number 3 pick in the draft. The number 3 pick in the draft. Question is, What are you going to do with the number three pick in the draft? What are you going to do with the number three pick in the draft? And a lot of people got them taking Jeff Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State. Now, is that your answer for letting go Darius Slay? Is that your answer? And that would be my question to Matt Patricia, right? Is that your answer for your cornerback issue? Or is it that you got a quarterback issue in Matt Stafford who can't stay healthy? That's your leader that can't stay healthy. Because I feel like Detroit, they got some pieces over there. And they've had some pieces for some time now. They just can't do anything with it. But I'm not going to continue every 5 years, give Matt Stafford all this money, and we can't get out of the North. We cannot get out of the NFC North. We can't beat Green Bay. And I've seen them lose to Green Bay. And Green Bay, their team is at – I've seen Green Bay beat them with one leg. I've seen Green Bay beat them, and Green Bay's not even at full strength. And it's just a sad situation. I don't think Matt Patricia is the guy for the job. I don't think so. And the reason why I say that, and it's not just so much Matt Patricia, it's the GM also too, is the fact that, number one, it starts with your quarterback and you work your way down. To me personally, if I lost my quarterback, my top quarterback who I invested a lot of money into, you know what I'm going to do with that third pick? I'm going to go with some offensive line. Because I think that if I need Matt Stafford on the field, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do everything I can to protect him. That's what I need to do. That's exactly what I need to do with my third pick. Not try to replace Darius Slay, because you could have worked that situation out and you probably could have kept him in Detroit. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. So I think that what needs to happen, is that right now Detroit needs to assess that roster. They need to assess that roster. I really do think so. And I think that if they can't assess it, then, you know, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I think so. I think they're going to be in so much trouble that then it becomes a situation where, okay, now is it a coaching issue? Is it the quarterback issue? It's going to be so many different blame games there. And I really feel sorry for the Lions, because the Lions, man, I'm telling you, they got some pieces that they can work with. It's just a matter of building, and it just seems like they just can't get over the hump. The number one pick, Cincinnati Bengals, select Joe Burrow, quarterback out of LSU. I love that pick. I love that pick. You know why? Here's why I like the pick. If I'm the Bengals right now, there's no doubt I'm selecting Joe Burrow. No doubt. He's from Ohio. He's an Ohio kid. He's home. Great. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to trade Andy Dalton and find out what the value is for Andy Dalton. What's the value for Andy Dalton? Is there an opportunity for me to get another first-round pick for him? Is there another opportunity for me to get maybe another third or fourth-round pick for Andy Dalton? Because he's still a good quarterback in this league. So what is his worth? I think he should be on the trading block. We need to find out what's going on with that. Because I think it's going to take a lot more than just Joe Burrow for Cincinnati to get better. And they're drafting the best quarterback in the draft for sure. For sure they're drafting the best quarterback as of right now. As of right now, they're drafting the best quarterback for sure. Somebody told me, what about Chase Young? But see, the Redskins got Chase Young. I think he's going to be the cornerstone defensively for the Washington Redskins at number two. I think, first of all, they need a leader first. I think the Redskins have their leader, and they decided to take on Haskins. So I think they got their leader. I think it makes more sense for the Redskins to draft Chase Young than it would be Joe Burrow. Right now, Cincinnati does not have their leader. And I think Joe Burrow will be their leader. This guy's the Heisman Trophy. This guy's won every quarterback award. He won a national